In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with basically what Pope St. John Paul II talked about on Holy Thursday in 1979. And we're at the part of the Mother of Priests. And if you've got the book, it's on page 75. And Pope St. John Paul II says, my dear brothers, at the beginning of my ministry, I entrusted all of you to the Mother of Christ, who in a special way is our mother, Mother of the Priests. So here he shows us that as he began his pontificate, he said, I entrusted all of the priests to the Mother of Christ, who he says in a special way is our mother, the Mother of Priests. And if a priest has a devotion to Our Lady, his priesthood is secure. If he helps the souls, especially pray the Holy Rosary, blessing the people that God has placed in his hands, basically, bless them and give them the sacraments and sacramentals, leading the congregation, you know, with devotion to Our Lady, especially the Holy Rosary. He has a power that the priests who don't have that devotion to Mary, that they don't have this. There's a power to the priesthood with the Blessed Mother. And I have this one picture that's really a beautiful picture where the priest is holding up the host during the consecration and Mary is with him. You know, with the priest at the consecration. We have to understand that when we receive Jesus in the Eucharist, we also receive Our Lady. It's flesh of her flesh, bone of her bone, blood of her blood. And it's such a wonderful knowledge of being with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So he says, in fact, the beloved disciple, who was one of the 12, had heard in the upper room the words, do this in memory of me, and was given by Christ on the cross to his mother with the words, behold your son, John 19:26. The man who on Holy Thursday received the power to celebrate the Holy Eucharist was, by these words of the dying Redeemer, given to his mother as her son. And you know, John not only represented the priest, but all of humanity. And when we have this devotion to Jesus and Mary, great things happen. It was like when Jesus speaks to Louisa, he says, Louisa, you have the first link to me, Jesus. And she said, how can I be the first if Mary, the Blessed Mother Theotokos, the Mother of God, has the first link? How could you say I'm the first link? And Jesus said to Louisa, don't you understand? When I speak about myself, I'm always talking about my mother. We are one, Jesus and Mary. And that's something that is so powerful, the new Adam and the new Eve, that when I remember this one priest, he was at the time elderly, and the first time he came to a Divine Will prayer group, he was a bit annoyed. He was just a bit annoyed. And the following year, he came in and he was bubbly. He was just bubbly. His parishioner said, "You got to go to this." And he says, "I'm ready to see Jesus. I don't need, you know." Well, anyways, he came to the Divine Will meeting. And he sat there and he was just like, why another devotion? Why another one? I've got enough. But when he started reading the following year, he came back and he said to me, I've always known this, but now I know it. And I said, what? And he says, Jesus is the new Adam. Mary is the new Eve. He says, of course, of course, of course. I mean, it was just like something clicked. And when he started reading, Jesus was explaining to him the time that we're living in. It's to return back to our origin, return back to become the people that we were called to be from the beginning. And that's why Jesus says to Louisa, I'm going to make all of the little children in the Holy Divine Will my divine masterpiece. And this is what's happening here. He says, the dying Redeemer gave John to his mother as her son. And in prayer, you know, things are going to get difficult. It's going to get difficult. And the one thing that we have to focus on is God is going to answer our prayers. And he and his mother work as a team, if you want to say. Jesus is the Redeemer. But Our Lady was with him on Calvary. He wanted her to watch him die. He wanted her to see how much love he has for us, that he would give up his life in exchange for our death. And when the priest begins to realize this oneness with Jesus and Mary, as our mother, we are her son. Nothing can stop us in our prayer. Nothing hinders us when we pray. We trust completely, completely, completely. There's this desire for a total trust in God because of what we're going to face. We're going to face some really tough things. And our trust, our confidence in God has to be so much that no matter what we face, we are living heaven, as Our Lady did. She faced watching her son die. She witnessed his death, yet she was filled with joy and hope in her suffering, in her sorrow. The same thing, we are going to experience the power of God in a way that we see very clearly in this time. This time, we're facing all the heresies at once. Every heresy is attacking the church again. And everyone has the internet, so they basically are looking at the heresies and going, you know, that makes sense. It makes sense to go against the church and not continuing to see how the saints stood up and said, no, this is not of God. This is not holy. This is not good, by fighting the heresies. So a lot of people are now getting to the point where, since there's really been no teaching, Jesus has given us the Book of Heaven. And the Book of Heaven leads us, guides us, directs us in a very simple and direct way to understand this faithfulness to Christ and his church with his mother, to be one with Jesus and Mary. So all of us, therefore, who have received the same power through the priestly ordination, have in a certain sense a prior right to see Our Lady as our mother. She is first of all the mother of the priests. And so I desire, this is Pope St. John Paul II, and again, 1 month after I was ordained, he talked about this. I desire that all of you together with me should find in Mary the mother of the priesthood, which we have received from Christ. We should find in Mary the mother of the priesthood. And so in our prayer life, yes, we pray directly to Jesus. We pray to our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. But we have to do this under the mantle of Mary. It's essential that when we pray under the mantle of Mary, we know that our prayers are going to be answered. with all the angels and saints, but now with this little newborn, Louisa. We pray, you know, to our Heavenly Father, Abba Father, in the name of Jesus, under the power and love of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of Louisa. When we pray this way, our prayer life is powerful. Somebody was just telling me about how, you know, he was in the hospital. He was in the hospital, and he said, you know, people would come in to pray, but when the priest came in and prayed with a relic of Louisa, he got better each time. And he said that it was really astonishing to witness, you know, when the priest held the relic of Louisa and touched the relic of Louisa to this young man through the anointing, he was healed. Each time he was healed, he was healed, he was healed. And the one nurse that would come in to his room at the end, you know, he was one of the few that survived the time in the hospital. And she says, by your healing, she said, it's given me strength to, you know, to watch everybody come in and die again and again and again. And you, with this, they had a picture of Louisa on the wall, and the priest coming in and anointing you with a relic to see you healed is given me strength. It's given me courage. It's given me a confidence that God is in charge. And again, this is what also we should understand. I desire that all of you together with me should find in Mary, the mother of the priesthood, which we have received from Christ. And it's the same thing now with Louisa. Louisa becomes our little mama, if you want to say. We had Mother Angelica, we have Mother Teresa, we have Mother Gabriel. But what Jesus is showing us here is we have to have not only Mary, but what you're going to see with this great gift of the divine will is the power that Jesus has given to Louisa. Again, she's the firstborn. She's the newborn of the divine will. No saint possessed what she possesses. Why? Jesus says, I went through all the universe to find basically the soul who I could give this to. And out of all the souls, you were the littlest of all. And therefore, I chose you, Louisa. You lived in your nothingness, and I chose you, Louisa. You know, we love the saints, but she is the newborn. She is the firstborn of the divine will. And Jesus explains this very, very clearly as we read the book of heaven. A lot of people say, well, there's many people living in the divine will. Well, to do the will of God, yes. But to live in the will of God, Jesus says, it's Louisa and Louisa alone. It's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. This living in the divine will is as we see when we read the volumes, it's given to the priests first. The priests have to know this. They have to live this, to give this. They have to possess it, to give it. They are the ones to feed the sheep, as Jesus says. Tend my flock, feed my sheep. This food is the first bread. It's the bread of the divine will. And so Jesus says, I also desire that you should entrust your priesthood to the Blessed Mother in a special way. And all of us should do this. If you haven't seen the feasts of the Blessed Mother throughout the year, every day there's a feast to Our Lady. Every day, look at the day that you were born on. Look at the day that when Our Lady appeared to somebody on that day, and the church honors her on that day. Look at the feasts of Our Lady, and that's why each priest should entrust their priesthood to the Blessed Mother in a very special way, in a very unique way. I remember I was standing next to a priest from Ireland at the holy year, the year 2000, and it was really a powerful time. We're in the Vatican, and I looked at him, and he's got his eyes closed. And I said, "What are you doing?" You know? And he says, I'm entrusting my priesthood to Jesus and Mary. And I went, "Holy cow, how come I didn't ever thought of that?" And I said, I want to do that too, you know, and again, it's in a special way, in our unique way, in a way that no one else can do this. The special way is to really, as priest, have Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, bless each priest. And I really would believe in a very special way, like with Louisa. As the apostles listened to the Blessed Mother, everything that Jesus taught was in the Blessed Mother. And through her, the new church began. Jesus says to Louisa, now I have to find a human born of original sin to give this to. And he says, I have found you, Louisa, so I can breathe into you, Louisa, this new and divine way of holiness, so that you, through you, you will give it to the priests who will then give it to the church. Give it to all the people in the church. And so he says, I desire that each priest should entrust their priesthood in a special way to the Blessed Mother. And I really do believe it's the same thing now, not only Jesus and Mary, but the three. You remember in the Old Testament, before the crucifixion, death, and resurrection, Jesus appeared to, Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus on Mount Tabor. So it was Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. And then for the last 2,000 years, we have had the Holy Family, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And now Jesus is saying, and he says this quite often, he says, now you have to enter into Jesus, Mary, and Louisa. And at first you go, wait a minute, you know, I love Joseph, you know, why Louisa? Who's Louisa? Why? And she's the newborn. She's the firstborn of the divine will. And the priests at this point, Jesus says, are going to be the apostles of the new era. They're the ones that are going to bring the gospel of the kingdom, which is the book of heaven, to all of humanity. And so this is what Jesus is asking of the priest. So he says, allow me to do it myself. And so here's the Pope saying, entrusting to the Blessed Mother, the Mother of Christ, each one of you, each priest. So here the Pontiff, the Holy Father, says, I, you have done this. Now I want to do this again for you. Let me entrust you to the Mother of Christ. And this is what he says, without any exception, in a solemn and at the same time, simple and humble way. That's how we're supposed to pray. Solemn, but simple and humble. It's not 1,000 words. It's to give to God from your heart, this surrender to Mary, our mother, the mother of the priesthood. And I ask each of you, my dear brothers, to do it yourselves in a way dictated to you by your own heart. This praying with your heart is essential. I know a number of priests who, when they're praying, each one prays while listening to their prayer in a very, very powerful way. I remember being with John Paul II in his chapel. I was next to him. I was near him. And he was moaning while he was praying. He was praying, and it was from his heart. He was moaning. He knows what the church is going through. And again, as he says here, I ask each of you to do it yourselves in a way dictated to you by your own heart. Your personal prayer to Jesus and Mary. I mean, it should be so intimate that no one can say that prayer but you, the priest. No one can pray that prayer but you or you alone, especially by your love for Christ, the priest, and also by your own weakness. Okay, this is essential. Jesus chooses the weakest. And the reason it's to confound the wise. He wants to make sure that nobody can say, well, you're doing this. No, priests are doing nothing. Jesus is doing that in them. It's the priest that is doing that. And that's why he started right at the beginning do a solemn, simple, but humble way, dictated by your heart, by your love for Christ the priest, and also by your own weakness, which goes hand in hand with your desire for service and holiness. And then Holy Father says, I ask you to do this. So here is, you know, even though this was said 40 some years ago, Jesus is saying it's that petition is still there for the priest to surrender to God, for the priest to surrender to Jesus and Mary, for the priest to pray, you know, the simple, solemn, simple, humble way by the love that you have in your heart for Jesus and Mary. He says, in your own weakness, which goes hand in hand with your desire for service and holiness. And this is, he says, I ask you to do this. Our Lord has great, great plans for the church. And let me just tell you what Jesus tells Louisa is something that's very clear. Everyone in the world will be Catholic at one point. And if that's not 1,000 years from now, what Jesus is going to do, the miracle that he has planned is everyone from the Jews, the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims, the Protestants, the atheists are going to know to begin to live this abundant life. Baptism is needed. And all of them are going to say, how and where and when can I become baptized? They know that this unique life that was breathed into Louisa, the only thing that's missing, Jesus said to Louisa, everything I possess, I give to you. He didn't say that to the saints. This is what he said to Louisa. The only thing she's missing is the resurrection. The only thing she's missing is the glorified body. When Jesus is ready, because the Father's going to say, here we begin. Now it begins. The whole world is going to want this life that they're going to see that was breathed into Louisa. Everybody is. It's not about being good and holy and saintly. It's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice, may we share in the divinity of Christ. What's coming is a new and divine way, a divine way of holiness. Those are the words of John Paul II, echoing St. Honorable de Francia at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia. So from the 24 hours of the Passion of Jesus Christ, the 21st hour, and here, this is something that is so powerful, is the 24 hours of the Passion. This is Jesus, have nothing else to give him, you have given him everything, you turn your languid gaze to your mother. So here, Jesus is dying on the cross. He's given up everything. He's given up every drop of his blood, everything, heart, mind, and soul. He's given up everything. And it says, Our Lady too is more than dying because of Jesus's pains. And the love that tortures Our Lady is so great as to render her crucified like you, Jesus. So here, Louisa is witnessing the crucifixion. And again, that's one of the great blessings that Jesus says he gives to the little children in the Holy Divine Will is bilocation. And it's not the bilocation of the saints. It's Jesus taking you where he wants to take you. So what does he do with Louisa? He takes her to watch him die. He takes her to Golgotha, to Calvary. And here, Our Lady with Jesus in his pains. Love that tortures her is so great as to render her crucified like Jesus. Her heart, as Jesus' heart, is split in two with the sword, with the spear. Her heart is split in two, which Simeon said right at the beginning. Mother and son, you understand each other. You sigh with satisfaction and feel comforted in seeing that you can give your mama to the creature. And considering the whole mankind in St. John, with a voice so sweet as to move all hearts, Jesus, you say, woman, behold your son. And to John, behold your mother. In your prayer, be at Calvary and witness this. Listen to Jesus speak. He wants you to hear this message about to his priests. He's got great plans, and it's not ordinary. It's extraordinary what God is doing. He's asking us to get ready for this new and divine way of holiness that the priest is going to give to humanity. That's going to be their job. Humanity is going to long for this new and divine way of holiness, because what God has got planned is going to be seen. It's going to be witnessed. And with the illumination of conscience, with the 3 days of darkness, with the miracle, with the warning, whatever God has planned, it's going to happen. But he's trying to get us ready. And the priest has to be the one to help the everyone turn back to God. That's why he says this. When we hear, woman, behold your son, and to the priest, behold your mother, it's the beginning of the priest to live in this new and divine way of holiness. Your voice, Jesus, descends into her maternal heart and unites the voices of your blood and keeps saying, my mother, I, Jesus, entrust all of my children to you. Feel for them all the love that you feel for me. So here, he takes our place and dies. And he gives us his life. And he, what is the first thing he do? His life, he puts in the hands of his mother. At the new Adam and the new Eve. Of course he had to do this. There's no other way that God would do this. He wouldn't start just with Jesus. I mean, we need a mother. We needed Eve. And he didn't just say to Adam, you're in charge of everything. It was Adam and Eve. And now the woman is the one who is filled with the truth. It's Mary. She's filled with the truth that Jesus taught her. And now this woman is filled with the truth. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all that I have said. He will remind you of everything that I've said. He will reveal to you all the truth and will remind you of everything that I said. What did Jesus say? Where is it recorded? It's in the book of heaven. And as we read the book of heaven, it's a simple, beautiful, and holy way of understanding the church. And like I said, there's been no teaching. There's been no real teaching for so long. And people are starving. Jesus, Louisa says this. She says to the priest, you're feeding them a cold and stale bread that's hard to digest. Louisa said to the priest, read the book of heaven. You'll have an understanding that you've never known before. You'll have an awareness that through the Holy Spirit, and you will feed them with this living bread. Not just the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist, but the bread of the divine will. Jesus says the super substantial bread of the Holy Eucharist is to prepare my children for the perennial communion that I have planned for them. So we receive Holy Communion, and at the end of Mass, I mean, the Mass ends. You receive communion, there's a final blessing, final prayer, Mass ends. The church does not want to interfere with your communion. And this is the time, the most beautiful time of the day to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and bless God and worship God, to enter into this thanksgiving, this communion. And then Jesus says, you're preparing yourself for the perennial communion that Adam had before the fall. And that is to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening. Our life with Christ when the kingdom comes on earth is going to be paradise. It's going to be everything that you ever wanted. And Jesus is saying, you've got to get ready for what's coming. What's coming is this new and divine way of holiness. Jesus says, may all of your maternal cares, this is now Jesus talking to his mother, be for my children. You will save them all for me. And this is what we're doing in the divine will. Jesus says that nobody is thanking him. Nobody is praising him. Nobody is glorifying him the way he wants, the way he should be. God should be as God. We should be kneeling, adoring him for all eternity. He says, would you do this for everybody else? He says, the majority of humanity, their human will is so strong that they cannot pray. He says, would you do it for them? Would you stand in the breach as Moses stood in the breach? Not just for the Israelites, but for all of humanity. All my brothers and sisters, all my children, Jesus says. When we pray in the divine will, we're basically helping them get ready for this great event that God has planned. You know, the illumination of conscience is going to be astonishing to see us as God sees us. Most of us will be terrified because we think we're pretty good. God alone is good. God alone is holy. When the illumination of conscience happens, you know what's going to happen? We're going to understand the book of heaven. We're going to be illuminated to understand this language of heaven. The depth, every word that Jesus speaks to Luis, he says, is a divine life, infinite. That's why every time we read, he keeps on expanding our capacity to know more of what he is saying with that one word. It's so amazing that, as St. Padre Pio said, the world of the church is going to focus on Luisa Picaretta and the divine will in the new era, in the third millennium. We're in the third millennium. We're 22 years in. We're really over time here. He's going to do something that's extraordinary. Get ready for what God is going to do. The majority of humanity won't be ready for it, Jesus says. Would you get them ready by praying in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future? So what we're called to do is in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So when you're praying, God is hearing all of humanity, all human generations from Adam to the last person, everyone praying with your voice. And Jesus says, it is as if everyone were kneeling in front of him, adoring him and loving him and praising him and thanking him and blessing him with you in the divine will. Do you see why everyone's going to want to be Catholic? Do you see why everyone will want to be baptized? So we are in God's image. And then why everyone will want to read the book of heaven, because then we'll be in God's likeness. And as we read, as we study, he keeps on expanding our capacity to understand more. It's not just, think about it. We all study St. Thomas Aquinas, yet he never finished the Summa. He said, everything I've written is mere straw compared to what God is going to do. When you read the book of heaven, it goes beyond St. Thomas Aquinas. Why? It's not straw. Each word that Jesus speaks is a divine life that expands. And the more that we read, the more that we study, the more that we put this into practice, the happier we really become. She says, so he says to Louisa, he says to the Blessed Mother, may all your maternal cares and tenderness be for my children. You will save them all for me. You will basically, you will hold them all for me. Hang on to them. And then I will, then you're going to basically hand them to me and I'll take care of it all. See, it's when you see the word save, it basically it's you're the one that's going to hang on to them and lead them back to me. This is Mary's role. Again, this is why we pray the rosary. This is why we wear the scapular. This is why we have a devotion to Our Lady. And if you have the feasts of Our Lady throughout the year, every day is a day honoring Our Lady. Every day. And then your mama accepts. Mary said yes. Volume 15, 7:11-23. Therefore, just as we, Triune God, entrusted our mama to Saint John, and that Mary might deposit in him and from him to the church the treasures that Jesus gave to the Blessed Mother in his life, the graces and all of my teachings, which I, Jesus, had deposited in the Blessed Mother during the course of my life, when she was entrusted to me, I, Jesus, acted as a priest to her, as I deposited in her, as in a sanctuary, all the laws, all the precepts, all the doctrines which the church was to possess. She, faithful as she was, and jealous of even one word of mine, deposited them in my faithful disciple, John, so that they might not be lost. And therefore, my mama has primacy over the whole church. Again, what we're seeing the importance of Eve, the new Eve. It's the church, this living body, the mystical body, the church, the bride of Christ, who has primacy over the Holy Church? Our Lady. He has surrendered everything to her. And again, this is why it's so essential that as priests, we have this great love for Our Lady, and we want to give this I love you to Our Lady, to all of the parishioners, so that basically, as Jesus is saying here, Our Lady will have primacy over the children to bring them all to Jesus. That's Our Lady's role. When you look at Our Lady speaks to her beloved priesthood. What do you see in there? She keeps on saying, get ready for the return of my son. Get ready for the return of my son. And when you read what Our Lady said to Father Gobi, you really begin to understand these are not ordinary times. These times that we're in is to get ready for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. You look at the apparitions of Our Lady throughout the world. She keeps on saying, get ready for the return of my son. I want you to be ready. I don't want to lose any of us, she says. She wants all of us to get ready to go to Jesus, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, so that Jesus can present us to the Father. That's Jesus's role. He's to present us, he's to present perfected humanity back to God, back to the Father. This is what he has done with his crucifixion, death, resurrection, this redemption, and now this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. The one who has helped Jesus is Our Lady. She, when she appeared to Bruno in 1947, Our Lady of Revelation, she said, I am the daughter of the Father. I am the mother of the Son. I am the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. That's Our Lady. That's our mother. That's our queen. And again, our houses should be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Our children should be consecrated to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Everything that we own should be basically our house, our property, everything that we own, our cars, we want to consecrate this, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Because of their love, we have these things. And when we consecrate them to Jesus and Mary, it's one more step of getting closer to this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Little by little, and this is the great blessing that we have, little by little, everything's going to come back to God. We're going to go back to the womb of the Father. We're going to, I mean, what was the DNA of Adam? What did it look like? What was Adam's DNA? Image and likeness of God. What is our DNA? Get old, gray-haired, wrinkled, and become food for worms. Jesus says that's all going to change. See, when the divine will reigns, it'll be no more sorrow, no more sadness, no more sin, no more death. That's what's coming. A new era is coming. And so when the kingdom is on earth as it is in heaven, hang on to your hat. It's going to be unbelievable. Unbelievable what God has planned. And he has predestined us to live at this time, especially the priests. He's going to say to the priests, the miracles, the power that is going to be emanated from these priests, he says, are going to be unheard of prodigies. The miracles, everyone that was healed 100 years ago is dead. Jesus says, that's not the miracle I want. He says, I want the miracle of miracles to occur. And what is the miracle of miracles? It's to go back to where we were before the fall. And that means to basically live the life where a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years is like a day. It's to live the life that God originally planned for Adam. So Jesus comes as the new Adam, Mary comes as the new Eve, and now they have a newborn. And Jesus is saying, I have this life, this abundant life that I want to breathe into you. I think we'll do a talk on breath. The breathing is so essential, Jesus says. To breathe in this divine, I love you, is what the priests are to breathe, as the priest breathes into the chalice, breathes on the host. This is my body. It's this new and divine way of holiness that's coming for all the world. This breath of God, of the new Adam, the new Eve, which breathed into Louisa, God is going to revive us. As he said to Louisa, as he raised the young man of a widowed mother from the dead, he says, that's where humanity is. They're not living in the divine will as I planned. They're not even close to what I want for humanity. So Jesus says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to raise them from the dead. That's why he said to Louisa, I rose from the dead so that my children can rise from the dead before they die. What is the rising from the dead? Rising from the human misery, the human will, to live in God's holy divine will. So we'll end there. We'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa, and we pray for all the little children, the holy divine will, to be divinely healed. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. God bless you.